The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner here with another episode of The Dream Take presented by The Dream Shake. I'm of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. And tonight, we have a W pod on our hands. Let's go, y'all. No Operon Shengun, no problem for the Houston Rockets, who pick up the win against the Boston Celtics. Probably the most unexpected win of the year. Final score, Rockets 111, Celtics 109. And let me tell y'all, you know, out of all of the, I'm just going to be on it, the bullshit that we've seen this season, you know, it's moments like these that give you a little bit of hope that this ship is going to be just fine. So Rockets had control of this game pretty much throughout, you know.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
They held the lead for most of it. They played well tonight. And usually games like these, you know, we've seen them kind of at the end where they kind of just figure out a way to lose it for whatever reason. That game against Sacramento from a couple weeks ago, right before the All-Star break, comes to mind. But yeah, the Rockets pull out this win. They get the stop at the end. You know, they nearly blew it at the end. They were up like 9 points with less than 5 minutes to go, and the Celtics had a chance to tie the game at the end. Jason Tatum misses the layup right there, but yeah, great win tonight for the Rockets. Michael Brown, my co-pilot, is going to come up whenever he's ready to visit me up here. Mike, W-Pod on our hands tonight, probably the most unexpected of the season.
I couldn't let you do this by yourself.
Oh, no. We got to spread the joy here.
I got to tell you, man, I caught most of the second half. This was interesting, man. There's an elephant in the room. I don't know if you want to get into it yet, but
cut Kevin Porter.
That's part of it.
Release him.
No, I wouldn't.
Against Boston of all teams, though.
I wouldn't say release
that to me. The irony is not lost to me in that Kevin Porter played the way he did tonight. Yeah. What, like 13 assists, 14 assists against Boston?
13.
I'm curious as to what Chris Mannix is doing and thinking right now.
Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons. What is Bill Simmons going to do?
Bill Simmons is a clown. No, man. Look, before I get to what I want to ask you about, because I am going to ask you this question before I have to take off tonight. Phenomenal win tonight. Jabari did his thing. KJ did his thing. Usman Garuba did hit. I mean, those two three.
Garuba had some good minutes as well. Yeah, overall, a big team win tonight. Some solid contributions off the bench. Jalen Green had that real hot start. You know, the box score doesn't look too promising for him, but having 17 points in basically the first quarter is definitely a great start, and a team high 28 for him tonight. And then Kevin Porter, 14, 13, and 6 with only one turnover. That is, you know, the Kevin Porter point guard hive is celebrating tonight for sure.
Yeah. And Jabari, third straight 20 and 10.
Absolutely.
Game.
Jabari is starting to turn a corner. We love to see it.
He had 24 and 12. And ironically, it's right around the same time that Jalen did his thing last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
after the All-Star break.
After the All-Star break, by coming down the last like 20 games, he's starting to do his thing. And I was at the game on Saturday. He's starting to look more comfortable. He's starting to get it. He's also a guy, I know you and I talked about this last year, the cockier Jalen Green played, the better he played. Jabari too. Jabari's starting to chirp a little bit. He's starting to feel himself a little bit more. That's the way he's got to play. You know,
an efficient 24 and 12 tonight from Jabari Smith. 9 of 11 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3. Those shots are falling. And you know, that's the Jabari that we expected to see coming out of school. And you know, the first 50 or so games didn't see that. Starting to get a little worried, but in this last 3 or 4 games, he's really started to pick it up. But you said you had that question for me. I want to get to that. So lay it on me.
Yeah. Who didn't play tonight?
Alperen Şengün did not play tonight.
I got to tell you, man. I mean, my question to you is very simple, very flat out. I think I know the answer, but I think it bears mentioning. Is this Rockets team built to play better without him?
I don't believe so.
Okay. But you understand the question, though.
Yes and no. I think Boston is a very good matchup. I think because they don't have a lot of bigs, so the Rockets could play a little bit small too, and they did. Jabari at the 5 was a lot of what played tonight. They played Garuba at the 5 as well. So it made sense for that. And it also kind of let Kevin Porter Jr. Have more responsibility with the ball and in setting up the offense. And I think that was important as well. I think it's really hard to see a world where both Şengün and Kevin Porter coexist on the same team in a successful way. We've seen now 2 years of that basically. I mean, granted, Şengün did not have as large of a role last year than he does this year. They both bring very different things to the table, and it's very hard for those two to have their best versions of themselves come out while playing together. Kevin Porter Jr. loves having a lob threat, and that's just not Alperen Şengün. And Şengün is a guy that helps set up the offense. I think the ceiling is much higher with Şengün than it is with Kevin Porter. But a win like tonight proves why the Rockets have this vision for Kevin Porter. He's able to, you know, build something here. It's a very tricky situation the Rockets are in, and it's a result of the direction that they decided to put themselves in, you know, back when they traded James Harden 3 years ago. Let's just bring as much talent into the building as possible, not necessarily prioritizing the fit that those players have, but let's just bring the most talented people we can find and see what sticks. And they're figuring that out as it goes on. And tonight they found something that sticks. Does this have staying power, though? That's the real question. Beating the Celtics in a regular season game in the middle of March when the season's far from over, or it's been over. It's far from any semblance of a real win. Like, as you know, with the losses that have come in this latter stretch of the season, unfortunately, this win, it's just a tally mark in the win column. It doesn't change a lot of what it is, but that's a conversation for a different day. This is a W pod. We're going to celebrate. So yeah, I'm going to bring up DJ. DJ's been waiting here for a chance to speak. So DJ, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you?
What's up, Mikey B? Long time. Once again.
Love DJ. It's been far too long.
Jeremy, I got to disagree with you, man, about the win tonight, man. I think it had some stance to importance, mainly because Boston was trying to win. Now, Boston, we all know how these teams are in the middle of March don't really mean nothing much to them unless they fight for seed. That's cool. But the fact that Boston was actually trying to win, they had all their big dogs going at it with this young Rockets team, and for the Rockets to learn how to actually finally pull out a win in this moment, I think it was a great win. I think it was a great win just because Boston was actually trying to compete. That's what made it a win. I mean, a good win.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Agree that this win, there is some value there. But if you go play the Lakers on Wednesday and you lose by 20 to a team without LeBron, then it downplays the value that this win has. Take this win, take the good parts of this win, and apply it down the line. So it's a good win tonight, but it's not going to mean as much if you don't do something with it. You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're talking about.
And this is like the real win that I don't count those Spurs wins because the Spurs were kind of half baked.
Hey.
They're wins because it's the Spurs, not because of anything else. But then the last time they won a legitimate game that I call a legitimate game was against the Thunder back in early February. Like the Rockets have not won a whole lot recently. So again, yes. When you can get these wins, you take them. Rockets get a win tonight, we take it.
Indeed. Let me ask y'all a question right here, man. So just speaking hypothetically here, it's a question for both of you guys. If we was to not get the first round pick this year, of course, it's going to be out of everybody's in the Wimbiyama sweepstakes, of course. So we don't get that pick, and we get the second pick, overall pick. Do you guys draft Scoop? My I'm sorry, my guy's not Scoop. It's the guy from I think Alabama. What's his name? Brandon Miller. That's my guy. But with that second overall pick, do you keep it or do you trade it?
Jeremy, I'll let you answer that because I have a hot take on that.
Here's my thing. If you take Brandon Miller, now Brandon Miller is someone we're going to discuss a lot of because he is at this point, he is the top collegiate prospect right now, and he's on the number one team in the country in this tournament, other than the University of Houston Cougars. Mike, didn't forget about you there.
Thank you so much. Another so one much for seed. Congratulations.
Don't lose this weekend though, because you don't want to be the one seed that loses. But no, Brandon
why
Miller.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
They're not going to lose, Mike. Who do they play? Who do they play? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So. I really hope I'm not eating my words about that. But look, Brandon Miller has a chance to really improve his stock here in March Madness. And I think I question whether the fit, because the Rockets already are relying on a lot of forwards. You know, we've got Jabari, we've got KJ, we've got Tari, we've got Brandon Miller now, if Brandon Miller is in the fold. I mean, look, if you have the number three pick, you take Brandon Miller, no question, I think. But if you have number two, and that's right now, obviously still 3+ months away from the draft. But right now, Brandon Miller is, in my opinion, the third best player in the draft behind Wemby and Scoot. I think there is a tier difference, though, between Scoot and Brandon Miller. I think Brandon Miller can be really, really talented, and he can really thrive at the level. I just feel like it's so – you're creating a log jam in that front court, and these guys need minutes. I feel like with Scoot, you bring him in, you clear out that back court, and you allow Scoot to be a building block for this team. I feel like with Brandon Miller – and that's kind of the problem that Jabari Smith has run into this year, is that because he's on a team with Jalen, with Şengün, with Kevin Porter, there's so many different building blocks that need the ball. Like Jabari has struggled to get the ball, and because of that, he struggled to get in the rhythm. Now he's finally in a rhythm. So for me, I feel like Brandon Miller couldn't encounter a similar issue. Granted, look, if you get him, then you make it work. But if the Rockets have a choice between Scoot and Brandon Miller, I've got to go Scoot. I think there's more potential for him to be the guy, the franchise guy. And that's not to knock Kevin Porter. That's not to knock Brandon Miller. I just think that Scoot Henderson is a guy that can be a multi all-star player.
And I see that more with him than I do with Brandon Miller.
So you're saying you would draft Scoot, which we already got a log and guard. All right, let me go ahead and just clarify what I'm saying. Basically, this
we need a point guard.
No, agreed, but I think we need a veteran point guard. I don't think Scoot is the answer as point guard, because I think you're getting the same in Scoot as what you get in Scoot, as in KPJ.
Mm-hmm.
So
I see what
a combo dynamic guard. They both the same thing. I think you need a savant of a guard that's still not too young, but in the middle of, you know, reaching his, you know, not his ceiling, but at his apex right now.
I'll tell you this, DJ. If it's not Scoot, I really, and this is a kind of a under the radar kind of pick, but you see there's a lot of guys here in the NBA that they are kind of in the shadows of some player. Mikal Bridges is the most perfect example I can come up with right now, where in Phoenix, he was option three, option four. Now he's in Brooklyn as option one, and he's balling out. Tyrese Halliburton's another great example of this. But I think Tyus Jones, I don't know why I said Young, but Tyus Jones from Memphis is a free agent this year. He's got to be walking. If John Morant's there, I mean, maybe the Grizzlies will sign him because they feel like they need some insurance with John Morant in his current situation at the moment. But if Tyus Jones has a chance to go to the Rockets and the Rockets want to start him, I feel like he's the perfect mix of a guy that can let Jaylen be Jaylen, but can also run the offense. And I think if you give him an opportunity, he can ball out as well. There was a game that he had not too long ago. I mean, now that John Morant's been out, Tyus Jones has been starting. He had against the Warriors the other night, 22-11. He had 11-10 against the Mavericks the other day. You know, so Tyus Jones, when given the opportunity, is able to ball out. 25-12 against the Clippers earlier this month. He can ball, and I feel like he would be a nice veteran fit. He's only 26, he'll be 27 next year. That I think is a good guy as an example of someone that is not too young, knows his way around the NBA a little bit, but also someone that, you know, could grow outside of this. But Mike, what's your hot take? I know you got something. That's fair.
We're talking about right now is the NBA draft is on June 22nd. Free agency opens July 6th. What is James Harden doing? That's the biggest key in this whole thing, because if you legitimately think you have a shot at Harden, and I hate this idea, but you have to take Brandon Miller at 2. I want nothing to do with Brandon Miller because I feel like you already have a better version of him in Jabari Smith Jr. And you could argue – you already have KJ. You already have Tari Eason. You don't need Brandon Miller.
I'll say this.
That's my biggest thing. You don't need him.
If you're not taking Scoot at 2, there is going to be a team that will. And you trade back.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I believe that. I agree with that. But also with Harden, Philly not going to let him walk for anything. It's going to have to be. I know he's going to be a free agent, but
it's going to be a sign and trade.
So if Houston plan on getting Houston, they're gonna have to really come with a package that's gonna entice Philly. Because you got to think, man, Harden started off with Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey not here, so that foundation of that organization that brought
this guy
Harden in, not here anymore. So Morey's gonna ask. It's definitely gonna be a sign and trade.
He's gonna ask for Kevin Porter.
I give him up. Bye.
Yeah, right. There's
Kevin, I mean, Kevin Porter, like for the thing is, like in a sign and trade, that like sign and trades are meant to just relieve cap space. Like when Kevin Durant signed with Brooklyn, in the sign and trade, they sent D'Angelo Russell, I think, to the Warriors. So like they did that only because, you know, he had a contract that was you know, comparable, and Kevin Porter Jr.'s extension kicks in next season. So he's the only player that is really making legitimate money on the Rockets that will, you know, kind of suffice. Like the Rockets could probably take on Harden's contract without a sign and trade, but
they're not paying anybody.
There's a chance for that. But if it's a sign and trade, I have a hard time seeing Kevin Porter not be the one that goes to Philly in that scenario. And then Philly can do, you know, Philly can trade him for something if they really look to do so, if they don't see a future with Kevin Porter. I mean, look, Kevin Porter's a very talented guy. And maybe with a little bit more guidance, and it's a different role, maybe he thrives more. I don't know. But also, if you think about it, you know, if Philly doesn't win this title this year, and they find themselves and Harden walks, and you got Boston, you've got Milwaukee, Cleveland's on the rise. You know, New York's going to do something probably. You know, that puts Philly in a really precarious position. And you've got Joel Embiid in his prime. So I don't know if Philly's going to blow it up and figure it out. I don't know if Embiid's going to want to leave. That is the number one domino in the offseason for sure. Not just for the Rockets, but for everybody, I think. Because that what that does is it opens Philly. And then you also have Dallas. What is Dallas going to do? You know, Dallas has not played well since Kyrie got there. They're 3-7 in their last 10. And they lost again tonight, third straight loss for them. Kyrie's been hurt. Luka's been hurt. So Dallas, there's a chance that Dallas may not even make the playoffs, which that would be hilarious. I would love nothing more than Dallas missing the playoffs, but it's a legitimate possibility, guys. Like there's a real chance that Dallas gets shaken up. I don't know if it will trigger a Luka leaving, but I don't think it will get to that point. But you never know. I mean, this league has proven time and time again that it's got another trick up its sleeve. And after what we saw at the deadline with Kevin Durant and Kyrie, I have a feeling there's something more coming down the line. But DJ, anything else pressing before we move on?
Yeah, that's my last question. I'm gonna go ahead and log off and listen to the rest of the show. Where would you account? This team's success lately. I'm not saying just wins, because of course we know they're not basically been winning, but as far as just, you know, the last, I'd say, three games, they have been really competitive. And, you know what I'm saying? But where do you attribute, you know, do you think that, you know, the front office upstairs had something to do with the first half of the season? Let me just say that.
Oh, good God, yes.
That's a good question.
I think the success comes from the guys whose name end in Ari, between Tari and Jabari. Those guys are killing it.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Jabari Smith has started this whole trend where he's 20-10 and the Rockets just have to be playing better. DJ, that was a great question. Thank you for that.
Phenomenal.
I think Jabari Smith playing like the number three pick that we took him with, is a big reason behind the success that the Rockets have had, or at least the upbeat quality in the basketball that we're seeing. Look, it's still not a great product. They're 1-2 in their last three games, but that says a lot. The fact that the Rockets, like a 1-2 stretch, is considered to be like successful, because you know the team is worse than 1-2. Throughout the season, their winning percentage is less than 0.33333. So I would say that. Go ahead. Well, Frank.
No,
figuring out the NBA game. Jabari is feeling a lot more comfortable. They're drawing up more plays for him. That's important, and that wasn't happening earlier in the season for a number of reasons, a multitude of reasons. Jabari not being ready, or Silas just not wanting to go to him. Like everyone's at fault for that, in my opinion. But now I think you're seeing, you know, more opportunities for these guys. Jabari's just has more confidence as well. And you know, like the players just are playing better. They have more experience together. Their chemistry is a little bit better. I think Kevin Porter Jr. coming back does have some bit of a reason behind all of this. I mean, and I also think the San Antonio games were a big factor in a lot of this. They blew out San Antonio at home by 32 points, not 8 days ago. So I think those games really gave the Rockets a lot of confidence in saying, hey, like we can play good basketball. And I don't care if it was against a G League San Antonio team. Like we are good, like we can win basketball games. And I think that's part of what we've been seeing the last couple of nights.
To answer DJ's question, I don't know necessarily if the front office
was a hindrance in them winning games.
They didn't do this roster.
This is a common thing we've had throughout the last several years. Yeah.
Years?
It's just been, you know, this team is built to lose for this three-season window. And it just so happens to be the three seasons we've been hosting this show. And now that they are getting out of that, you know, maybe we can start to see a bit more of a winning product. And I feel like with the West, the way it is right now, this is the time to kind of go for it, because the West, like Daryl Morey always said, if you're either in the arms race or you're out of the arms race. And I fully identified with that. You know, what's the point in being mediocre? If you're going to be bad, be the best at being bad. And that's kind of where they are right now. Now, obviously in the next couple of years, they're going to have to, you know, have these growing pains of trying to move their way up from 15th in the West to hopefully number one at some point. But at least we're seeing some kind of progress with that. And a lot of these teams right now that are sitting 4 through 13, they've got a lot of they're mediocre and they've got a lot of problems. And there's going to be a lot of teams in that group that are going to question, hey, you know, should we blow this up? Dallas is among those teams. Golden State is probably among those teams if they don't figure it out this year. Although I think they will. I really think that Golden State has just gotten really unlucky with their injuries and all that. But like the Lakers, the Pelicans are in a weird spot. You know, the Timberwolves, they're kind of stuck. The Clippers are also a team that's kind of stuck. So you got a lot of teams that are stuck. And I feel like the Rockets are stuck, but they're at least stuck in a place to where they can get the best talent in the draft. And they might get Victor Wembanyama. We'll see.
Well, and it's also, I talked about this on the show last night. They're a couple moves away from being a 52.
I agree.
They are literally right there. And that starts with three moves. Getting a real head coach. Because I saw some people praising Silas on the timeline. Does this, you know, is this run that they're going on meaning that they're going to keep him? No. Second, you getting the number one pick. There's one guy in this draft, in my assessment, that changes a franchise, and that's Victor Wembanyama. Scoot Henderson is not that guy. I think Scoot is going to be really, really, really good, but is he a franchise-altering type of guy? No.
Yeah, I do.
You know, you think so, or you agree?
To me, and obviously this is not – like this is the kind of impression I've gotten from Scoot since the season. I know it's not the best comparison right now, but he reminds me a lot of Ja Morant in terms of – and Ja Morant has changed the Grizzlies. He's taken them from the team picking number two in the draft in 2019 to number two seed in the West in 2022. That man is a franchise changer. And I think if everything goes right with Scoot, that can be his trajectory as well.
But that's the scary thing, though, is what you just said. If everything goes right. Like, I feel like everything doesn't have to go right.
If everything goes right with Victor Wembanyama, it's a championship. And the thing is, with Ja Morant, it could still end in a championship. You know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, the last couple of weeks have not led us to believe that that could happen. But, you know, Ja Morant, he's still really young. If he can figure out this bump in the road for him, and if all of this is just a bump in the road, then, which I hope it does, because Memphis is a really talented team. And, you know, while the Rockets are not in the arms race, we can support these teams. But if the Rockets are in the arms race, screw them. But I will say this. You know, yes, get a franchise guy in the draft, get a new coach, maybe get James Harden. Those are your three moves. And then, yes, the Rockets will be a lot closer to 50 wins than they are now. I'll say that.
But to simplify your third statement, though, it doesn't even have to be Harden. You got to get a real
Harden is the easiest path to that, because Harden has expressed interest in playing for this team.
He's also going to cost you the most money, though. That's the other part.
The Rockets at least have the money to spend, number one. And number two, for the Rockets, in order to get a superstar this summer, it's you get Victor Wembanyama in the draft, you get Scoot, and then Scoot becomes a star later on. And Victor Wembanyama will also kind of become that guy later on. That being said, It's James Harden or bust for the Rockets. It's not like they're going to get a star in free agency. It's him or nobody. I don't see Chris Middleton being like, yeah, I'm going to go play for the best team in the NBA, and then I'm going to go sign a contract with the worst one. It just doesn't.
Well, but it's money, though. Yeah, it's money, though, money, for him. Money,
like, he can pay from a lot of different teams that are way more likely to win over the Rockets. So, Fred VanVleet doesn't move the needle. Like, and Chris Middleton doesn't move the needle for me. Like, it, like, not enough to make me think, oh, yeah, the Rockets are going to win 50 games this year.
But if you asked me if we missed out on Harden, if he went back to Philadelphia, and you told me that we ended up snagging Fred VanVleet, you know, in a situation like...
I mean, it's better. I'll certainly take it. Don't get me wrong.
When Jalen Brunson left Dallas to go to New York for the money, that's got to be the type of situation.
Jalen Brunson's got a little bit more to his game than Fred VanVleet does.
Fred VanVleet, though, you and I both know, being American Athletic guys, that... I mean, Fred VanVleet, I love his story. I love his grit.
I loved him in college, and I definitely did not think that he was going to get to the point where he got in his career.
For sure.
NBA Big champion, Canada. Starting point guard, $80 million contract, and an all-star. That was insane. Yeah. I never saw that. But that's not who he is anymore.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, if you can get Harden, you could easily talk me into him convincing Patrick Beverley to come back too. After seeing what I saw on Saturday, I would give a lot. Mm-hmm. To add Patrick Beverley to this roster.
Yeah, and then who else? Let's bring Clint Capella back. Let's bring PJ Tucker, who won out of Philly. So we'll bring him back too. Trevor Reese is probably not busy either, so give him a phone call.
Bring back Gerald Green, bring back the mayor.
Yeah,
the
future mayor. Gerald Green would be like, yeah, of course I want to play with this team.
Yeah. But you don't laugh at this. If you end up bringing Harden back and he can bring back Tucker on a 1-year deal, Beverly on a 1-year deal to bolster the bench, I have no problem with that.
How many games does the 2018 team win in this NBA?
Oh, at least 60, 65 in that ballpark. And that's the thing, man. I also broke this down last night.
I'm saying like, I should rephrase that question. Not the 2018 version of that team. The players in 2023.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so you're saying not.
So them I'm saying in I'm saying literally bring everybody back as their current selves in 2023.
55.
That's still a lot. That's more than most of the teams are going to make this year.
Well, and I would like that
could be the number one seed this year in the West.
Well, right now Denver's at 46 wins. This league, this West Conference, tight.
This is about as tight as it's been in the league that I've ever seen.
But who scares you, honestly? That's an honest question.
In the West,
out there, if you're in the Western Conference in a 7-game series, who scares you?
In the West, Phoenix has the highest ceiling. Right behind them is Golden State, and that might be the first round matchup.
And that's crazy. Because Golden State, first of all, Golden State's what, 7-26 on the road? They don't win on the road.
Yeah.
But they still
I will say that, yeah. Because they haven't lost a playoff series together. The three of them have not lost a playoff series together.
But Sacramento, I mean, Sacramento doesn't scare me.
Sacramento, because they haven't done anything yet. That's why Denver doesn't scare me either. And Denver's had a pretty rough patch the last couple of games.
Clippers are going to give you a run. The Lakers aren't going to do anything. You know, the Rockets are not that far off, which is crazy to say after this year. But you make a change at head coach. You got to get a real head coach in here. The more I thought about it, Jeremy, and I know we're going to run in a little bit long, but I think this is important. The more you sell me on Mark Jackson, that's the move to me. I don't think it's going to happen. He's the perfect guy.
It's not. He's not going to leave the booth. No, he's not.
But he would be my number one target. If you said go pick a guy right now to coach this team, oh good God, would he be the right guy?
I'm thinking realistic options at this point. Quinn Snyder was probably at the top of my list before he went to Atlanta. I would probably say
pass.
Honestly, and this is I might get flack for this, but Terry Stotts. Terry Stotts will at least get this team from out of the basement. And that to me is, I think, what the Rockets are looking for more than anything. Also, I'm not sure if you caught this, but go back to our episode where we played the Nuggets a couple weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. We had a guy from he's a Denver guy, CT, Yeah, he said Rick Adelman's son.
Adelman's son.
David. I like that to me would be cool, but I'm looking for an established guy. I'm looking for someone that has proven to win before. Terry Stotts has taken the Blazers to the Western Conference Finals. And look, like, you want a guy that has won before, and yes, like, all of these, you know, but there aren't that many guys that are available, because if they won, they're probably with the team already. So I would say, of the people that I know are going to be available, Terry Stotts should at least get an interview. Like, that's like the little, you know, and Sean's in this chat, Ime Udoka. I don't want to get into a lot of that right now, but Ime Udoka's won before. Maybe someone that has less of a sketchy past.
Well, you could say the same thing. We're not going to get into this, but that could say the same thing about Brandon Miller. Is he draftable at this point?
Thank God we don't have to make these decisions.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, is that character is a driving force. And I'll tell you this, you and I.
And the Rockets have proven to take guys that people have questioned their character in the past. Mm-hmm. Kevin Porter Jr. is the best.
They're starting point guard. Yep. But I will say, I'm going to hold out hope. Now, you and I may disagree on this, which is fine. That's why we're here. My number one choice, I don't know if he's attainable, is still Kelvin Sampson. Connection to the
imagine going to the Final Four,
winning the
Natty. You can't do it better than that. So yeah, if that's possible,
my number one choice.
I would be for it. But yeah, I'd be for it.
Oh, it would be a splash. It's different. It's weird. It would feel awkward, but everything is there for that to happen. Just saying.
Yeah. I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship. We've got a lot in. So. It's fun to do these podcasts. We don't get to do a lot of them anymore because they just don't win. But when they do, we celebrate and we do it together. It's super fun to have this show with you, Mike. So let's tell the listeners where they follow us.
You just sounded like the Dos Equis guy. I don't always. What did he say? What did he say?
The most interesting podcaster in the world.
I don't prefer. What did he say?
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer.
That's what it is. Yeah, I don't always.
Is that at the end?
Yeah, I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I prefer the drink. Yeah.
okay. Well, go follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dream Show.
Yeah,
you should. You can also head to our Facebook page. Give us a like over there. Or head to thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. You can also follow my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown, on Twitter at
MikeBrown_2020.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. We'll be back in about 48 hours' time when the Rockets play the Lakers. And hopefully it's another W pod. We can have this going. Keep this winning streak going. I know it's on this winning streak now, but let's build a winning streak on Wednesday against the Lakers. Super big shout out to everyone that came to listen here on Spotify Live. Thank you to DJ who came up and chopped it up with us for a bit. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!